In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door that sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
My name is Matthew. You might have seen me preaching and singing on these dusty streets. Just one of many.
Preaching and singing on these dusty streets. Just one of many who are following Jesus. We were all witness to miraculous feats. Maybe you just heard last week they took him. On Friday my Lord was hung on a cross. It's been 3 days now and I feel so empty. It's Sunday morning and I feel so
alone. My name is Mary. My heart is heavy. I've cried so much I can't cry anymore. How could this happen? He was so gentle. I've never met a man like him before. How I adore him. How I believed him. Such a sweet. I wash his feet, oh, but lately I can't sleep. This Sunday morning, think I'll visit his tomb.
My name is Peter, maybe they told you I had denied him, I'm sorry it's true. He knew my weakness, still he forgave me. I stood up to the soldiers, there were only a few. I felt his hand come to rest on my shoulder. He lowered my sword, said, is this what I taught? That's when they took him, later they beat him. It's Sunday morning, and I wish now I'd fought.
I am a soldier. I saw the wound in his eye console me. I have been stationed all night at his graveside. It's Sunday morning and I fell asleep. But there in the darkness the earth shook and trembled. To the sound empty the stone rolled away.
I was wondering if that was going to clear or not. That's okay. Hey, there we go. Worked out anyway. And we're the church that multitasks. And so we are just so very excited and thankful for the Calvary Drama Team, Brother Allen and everyone that moved hastily and put these things together for our Lord's special day. And again, it's just so good to have each and every one of you this morning coming to be here at Calvary. And just so very thankful for you. We've already had some that said they're coming back home to return. And that's going to be rejoining next Sunday. And so we're thrilled and excited about that. And let me just say, if you do not have a church home, we'd love to have you here at Calvary. And we're a church that's moving forward. We're progressing for Jesus. And we're just so excited of what the future holds. Let me say this before we share our message this morning. After the message, of course, we'll have an invitation. And we have two of our young people singing a special song at that time. And then we're going to have two offerings. Now, the first is for Calvary members. It's an opportunity to give their tithe. And then the second one is going to be our special Easter offering. And so we encourage you to give in that manner if you can in honor for our Lord that's alive this morning. We do have envelopes for that special offering. And at the appropriate time, I'll ask you to raise your hand if you need one, and we'll have our ushers bring you one. And then that will conclude the service. It's so good to be here this morning. I want to ask you for a few moments to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. If you can see your Bible, that is, in the dark, maybe we can boot up the screen and put the verses on the screen this morning. That would be great. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 is going to be our place of reading. And we're just so thankful at the same time. I know I keep saying it, but I'm so excited to have a freshly painted church on Easter Sunday morning. And we're so excited about that. And we're continuing to progress with upgrades and updates on the inside of the church coming soon. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I want to bow for prayer, and then we will introduce this chapter, and we will bring you the message this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you, O Lord, for who you are and for what you do. Pray, Lord, for the next few moments that you would allow me to be clay in your hands. God, I pray that you would allow me to say only the things that please you. And Father, by the time we leave this morning, I know that we all could say, and let it be said, that it was good to be in your house, especially on Easter Sunday morning. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this before I give summary of these verses. This is only the second time I've ever preached an address. And so I just wanted you to know. And you're wondering, what was the first time? Well, the first time was the first time that we did the drama since we've been here a couple years ago. And to women it's a dress, I guess to men it's a robe. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this is known as the resurrection chapter in the Bible. Much is said about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it goes on in this chapter and it talks about our mortal putting on immortality. And that's an interesting read. Whenever you get home, maybe you can finish the thoughts and the reading in this chapter. But verse number 1 down through verse number 11, we have the Apostle Paul, and he is speaking on the resurrection. And these verses, I could say that are the resurrection verses delivered. Notice what he says in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Here it is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And so we see that in these verses we have the resurrection message delivered. And again, Paul, he gives scripture evidence, verse number 3 and verse number 4. And then he gives physical evidence, verse number 5 and verse down through verse number 8, speaking of how this risen Lord was actually seen. Now, when we continue to read verse number 12, 13, all the way through verse number 20, you'll begin to see how the resurrection of Jesus Christ directly impacts all of our lives. And so with that said this morning, notice if you would in verse number, let's begin in verse number 12. He says, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now," thank God for verse number 20, "but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." This morning I want to use verse number 20 as my launching pad, so to speak, for the message. And I want to preach on this subject just for a few moments. Because He lives. Because He lives. There's a beloved song called "Because He Lives," and here's just some lines in that song. "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living because He lives." What a blessing this morning to know that Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, our fears can neutralize. Our fears can all be melted away for the simple fact that Jesus arose from the tomb. This morning, Christianity is set apart from all religions of the world. You say, how's that? Well, I'll tell it to you this way. Because anyone can die in the name of religion. Anyone can die upon a cross. But you see, only Jesus died upon the cross and was buried and then rose again, as He prophesied hundreds of years ago through His prophets, being raised from the grave. Only Jesus can do that and has did that. I want to say this morning, false religions cannot offer that kind of salvation. Muhammad did not raise himself from the grave. You can go to where he's at over in Mecca, I guess, and find where the bones of Muhammad lay. His bones are still in the grave. You can go and find out and do a search where Buddha's at. And you can find his bones in the grave. Confucius, his bones are in the grave. And all of the others, Gandhi, Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, and all the other false religions and false doctrines out there in the world, all of them people lived a life and died in the name of religion, but only Jesus rose from that grave. That's what sets Christianity apart this morning from all the rest, is that Jesus is alive and well. In fact, Christianity is not a religion at all. It's a relationship with the darling Son of God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because we know that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so, friend of mine, I'm asking you this morning, on Resurrection Sunday, when you die and you go to the grave and your spirit goes to meet God, will he say, enter ye in the straight gate? Or will he say, depart from me, for I never knew you? Let me just say, while I'm on this subject of salvation, that Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what a blessing that is this morning. What a blessing it is that whosoever can call upon the Lord whensoever. Doesn't matter whatsoever you've been going through, what kind of past that you've had, we serve a risen Savior with opportunity to get saved this morning. Come and trust Jesus as your Savior and experience the resurrection life of Christ in you, our hope of glory. Walk in the newness of life. Have a desire to serve God. Read His Word. Pray and tell others about Jesus. He will take you to heaven when you die, and He will unfold your purpose while you're here on earth. Well, praise the Lord this morning for our resurrected Lord. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. I heard a story one time of a mom who was taking her son to buy a toy for doing good in school all week. And so she took him to the toy store. And when they went to the toy store, he found a little wind-up toy, little puppy wind-up toy. He would wind it up, and he let it go on the floor, and it was chirping as it was moving along. Chirp, 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 chirp. And that was supposed to be a bark. And so he said, Mommy, Mommy, I want this toy. I've always wanted a doggy, and so, Mom, can I have this? Yes, son, you can have it. As they left the store, they were walking down the sidewalk of the old town, and through the window of a pet store, they saw this live puppy licking the glass and really barking. He said, Mommy, Mommy, I don't want this toy anymore. I want the real thing. This morning, I'm glad to report to you that we don't have a toy pretender as a Savior like all the other false religions, but we have Jesus. He is the real and living Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not a toy pretender like all of those other false leaders. Praise the God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can touch Him this morning through the eye of faith, and He can touch you as well. I want to mention some things out of these verses this morning. As a result of because He lives. Because He lives. Some things that are true because He lives. Now, I do want to say this, that in the church of Corinth, there were some who crept in the church that possibly that were Sadducees, Gnostics even. 2 Timothy, as Paul writes, describes Hymenaeus and Philetus may have been ones who tried to corrupt the doctrine of God by saying that there is no future resurrection of the believer. And so verse number 12 says this, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And then he goes on and he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And so he spends this chapter, he starts off talking about how that Christ is alive. Again, he mentions in verse 3 and 4, scriptural evidence that he's alive. And then verse 5 through 8, We have physical evidence that he's alive, and he builds it and he builds it so that he can disprove and refute the false doctrine that was creeping in the church that there is no future resurrection of the believer. And so he says, and he goes down through these verses, he says, well, if Christ is not alive, then all of these things are vain in your life. And of course, he goes in verse number 20 and says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Again, I just want to mention some things that are true because he lives and because he is alive. Verse number 14, because he lives, our message is true. Notice with me in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. He says, if Christ did not get up out of the grave, then our message, our preaching would be vain. Our preaching, our message would be false this morning if Christ raised not from the dead. Our message this morning, our preaching, even in Paul's day, everything that he said, all the epistles that he wrote, all the prophecy in the Old Testament and all the New Testament writings, all of it would be false. It would be empty. It would be vain. It would be pointless. It would be a delusion to everyone if Christ raised not from the grave. It would be useless. But the Bible says, again in verse number 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. This morning, he's alive. And because he lives, our message is true. Because he got out of the grave, we're not preaching a false message. Because he got out of the tomb, our message is not empty. Because he got out of the grave, we're not preaching a delusion. We're not preaching something that's useless, but we're preaching, thus saith the word of God. We're preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is that he lived, he died, and he was buried, and that he rose again. And anybody that calls upon his name for salvation, he is there to accept. Nobody he will turn away that comes to him with faith and repentance. This morning I want to say that the gospel message is true. It's alive and it's well. Of course, the day and times in which we live this morning, the true gospel message isn't being appreciated. The true gospel message isn't being embraced. Many people, even in local churches, are leaving churches where the true gospel message is preached, where Jesus is a bloody Jesus and man is a sinful man. People don't want to hear that in the day and time in which we live. People want to go to churches where they're patted on the back and told to them that they are awesome and they're amazing. And no doubt God's creations that he has made are awesome and amazing. But we're all sinners. We're all going to hell except for the acceptance of what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary this morning. I say, let's not leave the church that's where the gospel's being preached. I say, let's join the church where the gospel's being preached. Preacher, when you get up, preach me the word of God and tell me how rotten I am. Tell me how bad I need Jesus, because I need help this morning. I don't need to be led away with a greater self, a greater image of who I am. But I need to leave the church every Sunday morning knowing how great Jesus is and what he can do for me in my life. And that all I have to do is surrender, even after salvation, surrender myself to him, and he will enable me to live the Spirit-filled Christian life. This morning, I'm glad to say, because he lives, our preaching is true this morning. Thank God for the gospel message. Thank God for the preaching of the cross. Not only because he lives, our message is true, but because he lives, our faith is true. Look again in verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. He rose, so our preaching is not vain. And your faith is also vain. He arose, and because of that, our faith is not in vain. You say, Brother Justin, what does he mean? Your faith is not in vain. Faith in preaching the gospel. Faith in the gospel that has been preached. Faith in the true gospel that is being preached, has been, is being. Faith to believe that is not in vain. The faith to believe in the gospel that has been preached is not empty. Faith, the faith to believe in the gospel is not useless. Our faith is not useless. Our faith is of no advantage. Our faith in the preaching of the gospel, if it was a delusion, it would be useless. If we believe this morning in a gospel that was a delusion, if it was false, if it was empty, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, we would be believing in a delusional gospel, and our faith would be empty. The whole embodiment of truth that we believed in would be useless. It would be powerless if Jesus raised not himself from the grave. But because Jesus raised from the grave, our faith is not empty. Our faith is not useless. The faith that we exercised in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not powerless. Why is that? Because he raised himself from the grave. Amen. The whole embodiment of truth that we possess is not empty. The embodiment, the undergirding of the truth that which we believed on the cross in Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, it was not useless or pointless because he's alive from the grave. Let me just say this. Not only the embodiment of truth that we hold in our hearts is true, but the times that you needed Jesus to do a miracle for you is also true. The faith that you exercise in him that you need a touch is also true. The times that you believed God for a miracle, the times that you believed in God that he would come through for you, those weren't empty exercises of faith. Those were full exercises of faith. Why is that? Because he's alive from the grave. I say this morning, as we progress in this thing called life, as we move forward to the Lord's return, keep on believing. Keep on exercising your faith in him because he is alive from the grave. Keep on believing God for miracles for your family. Keep on believing God that he'll touch you physically. Keep on believing God that he'll remove you, remove the cancer that's in your body. Keep on believing God that he'll come through and save that loved one you've been praying for years. Don't ever stop believing in him. Why? Because your faith is full this morning. Because he is alive from the grave. You believed in him at salvation. You believed the gospel message. And because of that, your faith is not in vain. This morning we have a live, active faith. We have a faith this morning as it was in Daniel's day when the three Hebrews were thrown in the fire. But yet because of the faith that they possessed, the whole embodiment of truth that they had, the three Hebrews in their hearts, Jesus joined them in that fire. And they were able to walk through the fire because of the fourth man. And they actually touched the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. Because he looked in that fire and he said, lo, there's a fourth man loose like unto the Son of God. I want to say this morning that we have a live, active faith that only we have to trust in Jesus, not only for salvation, but trust him for our life and well-being. We can do that because he's alive from the grave. Because he lives, our message is true. Because he lives, our faith is true. But then, notice in verse number 15, because he lives, our witness is true. Verse number 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Because he lives, our witness is true. You know, this morning, one of the qualifications for an apostle is to see, having seen the resurrection of Jesus. And he mentions many. Verse number 5, he talks about Cephas. Then of the 12, verse number 6, he mentions above 500 brethren at once seen the resurrected Christ. But then in verse number 8, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And so Paul says, if Jesus did not get up out of that grave, he said, we are false witnesses of God. He says, but I seen him. And not only did I see him, but Cephas seen him. And the 12 seen him. And 500 seen him. He says, he's alive. You can believe the message that I'm preaching unto you. It's not my message, but it's his message. Verse 3 and 4 says, scripturally. Now this morning I want to say this. I did not see Jesus come up out of that grave. Justin Hales wasn't there when he came up out of that grave. You weren't there when he came up out of that grave. Nobody in this building, nobody in this world was there this present time who seen Jesus come up out of that grave. But I'll say one thing. I've experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life. I wasn't there when I seen him come up out of that grave. But I'll say this. There was an old man that died on 2002, November 19th, as I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. At this little hole in the wall gym in Smyrna, Georgia, the old man died and there was a new man that was resurrected spiritually from the grave. It happened and it was so true that I went and got baptized, wanting to show and declare publicly to the world that the old Justin is dead. There's now a new Justin in this life that is walking with God's praises on his lips and his word in his heart. Listen, I wasn't there. Like the song says, if you knew him like I know him, you would believe, my friend, that he's alive this morning. Jesus is living. And I want to say, if he did not get up out of that grave, we were all found false witnesses. But this morning, he got up out of that grave. I've experienced his newness of life in my life. You've experienced the resurrecting power of Jesus. This morning, we need to give him praise that Jesus is alive. Woo! Praise the Lord this morning. Again, the only thing I have to go on that he's alive is God's word and my experience of salvation, brother. The only thing you have to go on that he's alive is God's word and your experience if you're saved. But you put those two together, what God's word says in our experience, I want to tell you, there's going to be some newness of life. There's going to be some resurrecting buds of Jesus, buds of glory in our life that come up. Jesus is alive. Well, sometimes this gets too much bigger than I am. But praise the Lord anyway. He says this in verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Jesus is alive. And because of that, church, let's keep on being a witness for him. Because he's alive, let's continue to tell the testimony and the stories that we have personally, how that God saved you. Everybody's story is different. There's some that were on drugs before salvation. There's some who were not on drugs. Guess what? Praise the Lord for those who were not on drugs. Because everybody don't live to tell about it. Praise God for your testimony of Jesus. Continue to be his witness. And we can be his witness because he's alive this morning. Let me hurry on. Verse number 17 says this. Because he lives, our forgiveness is true. Verse number 17. The Bible says, or let's read verse number 16, then 17. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. What a terrible way to be in. If we believed in a delusion this morning, guess what? We are yet in our sins. If Jesus did not arise from the grave, that means there's coming a day where we're going to have to give an account for our sins. There's coming a day where I'm going to have to kneel before the cross in the afterlife and say, if Jesus weren't alive and if I didn't confess Him, I would have to give an account for my sins. I would have to give an account as to why. But the Bible says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. This morning, but now, is Christ risen from the dead. Which means we have true forgiveness of sins. Which means all of our sins are gone. Because this wasn't a delusion we believed in. It was true gospel. It was the gospel that was preached in Bible days and the gospel that's being preached now. Because Jesus arose from the grave, we are not in our sins. Now, verse 17 says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. This is the second time he's used the word faith. The first time he used the word faith in verse 14 is in relation to the whole embodiment of truth, I believe, that which we believed on Christ and his redemption plan. But this word faith is in close relation, but it has to do with the faith required for salvation because it's connected to the removal or the forgiveness of sin. And so he says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Because Christ was risen, the faith we exercised in Jesus was not in vain. And we no longer have sins on our account. They're all on the account of the Son of God. Because he lives, our forgiveness is true. Let me mention this, verse number 18. Because he lives, the deceased believers are alive. Verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ be not raised from the dead. The word asleep here is another word for death, as we know. And so he says that if Christ was not risen, then those which died, they're gone. They are gone. They are asleep in Christ. They are perished forever. They're in some galaxy far away. They're lost. Their eyes closed in death, and they're just forever lost. Some believe that after death, there's annihilation of soul. Some also believe it's like going to sleep before surgery, never waking up. But all of that's false. Jesus is alive, and he is the first fruits of them that slept. He began to set the pattern, meaning if Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again, guess what? When we die, we will rise again as well. And this morning, all of those who you've followed to the cemetery to bury, husbands and wives, grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts, even children, they're not annihilated in the grave. They're not somewhere lost in some galaxy. If they accepted Jesus as their Savior, they are with the Father right now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we see that because he lives, the deceased believers are alive. One more thing. Verse number 19, because he lives, our hope is alive. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, the truth of the matter is this morning that our life, not only that we live now, is hopeful. Not only we have Jesus here to call upon, and he comes to our aid, and he unfolds his plan for our life, and he guides, he directs, he comforts. Our hope is not only in this life. If it was, it'd be miserable to really enjoy. But we have life to come. We have the hope of heaven. We have the blessed return of Jesus that could happen at any moment. Because he lives, our hope is alive. This is not it, church. We have a world that's coming that's fairer than day. We have a heaven that we're going to possess where there is no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no cancer to battle, no funerals to attend, no personal body struggles, nothing like that. Depression, discouragement, anxiety, and fear. None of those things will enter there because we'll be in the very home of God. There's coming a day where we're going to stand before the Lord. And if we're saved, He'll say, enter in. And then we'll enter in to the beauties of heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse number 20, but now. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I just want to say this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, happy Resurrection Sunday to you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is well. He is there to aid. He is there to assist. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. If you don't know Him personally today, would you come to know Him? Would you meet us in the altar and give your heart and life to Jesus? I'll meet with you to talk. Our altar staff, our altar crew will come to meet with you and talk as well. Whatever you say, Brother Justin, I'm already saved and I know that. Yet you still may want to come this morning and just give your life to Jesus in some area that you may be holding back or struggling in. You know you're saved, but you still have to surrender more. Whatever the case is, as the young ladies want to come and get ready to sing their song, pay attention to these words. This is about the commission after the resurrection.
The song we're about to sing is entitled The Commission. This is the songwriter's interpretation of when Jesus gave the Great Commission to His disciples. So some of the words are not recorded the same as Jesus spoke in Scripture.
Amen. You come if you need to come.
Stay.